Okay, hello everybody to the last talk before lunch. I will try to explain you a bit the internals of KExec KDump. So my name is Matthias Brugger. I work for SUSE and I work mainly on ARM64. So I work for the enterprise products of SUSE on ARM64 and also contribute to OpenSUSE. And as part of this work, I was working on KExec KDump for ARM64, and I want to explain you a bit what I learned. Apart from that, I'm a maintainer of MediaTek on the system, MediaTek system on chips in the Linux kernel, and I do a lot of more stuff. Okay, what will we talk about today? So I will quickly introduce the use cases that exist for KExec KDump, and then we will dive into the internals of user space and kernel space. I will just describe a bit what support is given in OpenSUSE, which is for sure in other distributions as well, and we'll have a quick demo and QA. Okay. So basically, there are three use cases. The first is, for me, is like the most important one, and for sure is why this in the first place was developed. That is to debug a system. So at SUSE, for example, we have a lot of customers that have their hardware, and then we don't have, maybe don't have all this hardware in-house, or they are running some legacy code on their systems that we don't get a good reproducer when their system crashes. There might be that we don't have good logs because kernel crashes so badly that the logs are actually not usable. And then for this case, we can use kdump to create a dump file, which then afterwards you can inspect to see what actually happened and why the system crashed. The next use case is to boot a new kernel without rebooting the system. So that's, for me, when I first heard it, was a bit weird, but the idea behind this is that when you have, for example, a really big machine which will take a long time to boot up because this firmware has to enumerate all the hardware, etc., or you have a system which is pre-production system and even the firmware is under development and you have some beta version of the firmware, then you can have bugs in the firmware, and so it might not be sure that every time you boot the system comes up. And so if you work on some kernel stuff, then it might be useful to just reboot the kernel from the kernel and skip all the firmware. All the firmware initialization. Or there was also a talk yesterday about using Linux to boot Linux, and that is exactly what is done with IBM S390, which are some really big machines, and they have like as a bootloader Linux, and then they kexec into the distribution kernel. And throughout the talk, I will talk about the first use case, which is debugging a system. The other two use cases, well, they're basically the same, technically, and I won't go into detail about these. And KExec KDump has like some generic infrastructure, but there are some architecture-specific parts. And where we go deeper into the architecture-specific parts, I will talk about ARM64, because that's what I know best. So there are different names for the production system. So the idea when you debug a system, you have a production system with your production workload running, and some really bad bug in the kernel happens. And then a capture system gets started. There are different names for this: capture system, crash system, panic system. I will try to keep with capture system or capture kernel in this presentation to not confuse too much. So how does this look like? I made a little crappy graphic. So imagine this is the, you can see this here, right? Yeah. Imagine this is a memory of your system. So you have somewhere in memory your production kernel, which is running, which shows this arrow, and then you have your system RAM. And when the production kernel crashes, then the capture kernel gets started, and the capture kernel then takes all the memory and the kernel of the production system and creates a dump file. So which parts are involved in this? So there's a user space part, which is called KExec tools, that is basically used to prepare the capture system. Then, of course, the kernel itself that needs to execute and capture the kernel on crash. And there are some other user space tools like make dump file, which is which is used to create the actual dump file from the capture system. And then to inspect this dump, you can use crash or crash Python, which is an implementation effort done by SUSE to those that you can use Python scripting to inspect the dumps. And then there are some distro programs to make it easier to set things up. Okay, so KExec tools. There are different tools in the repository, but the most important one is called KExec. Though this command line, what that actually does, it loads a kernel in an initrd and reuses a boot parameter of the kernel of your system. And then you can, with -e, execute this new kernel, and that it will KExec in the new kernel. And what it internally does, it calls reboot with some magic number, and this magic number then the kernel recognizes and then says, okay, I don't have to reboot into the firmware, but reboot into the loaded kernel. And there's also, now confusion starts, so you can also load a capture kernel, which is done with -p, which stands for panic. And you can unload the kernels, and there are also some I-specific options, which are not relevant for us now. Okay, let's have a look under the hood how these OKExec tools actually works. So we remember that the capture kernel will make a dump file out of the production system. So the question is, how does he do it, and what does he need to know? So he needs to know where the actual capture kernel is, so that he can load the capture kernel when the production system crashes. We must know where the usable memory is for the capture kernel, because we can't use just the memory that your production system uses, because you would overwrite the memory and maybe will overwrite the hints you need to find out what really happened. You need to know where the user space of your capture system is, and you need to know where the production kernel and memory can be found. So KExec tools, or KExec in general, what it does, when you boot your production system, you pass a kernel parameter, which is called crash kernel, which is creates a reserved memory area. So if this down here, this box is the whole memory you have, then the gray part is the reserved memory area, which is then not used by the production system. And it can be a bit tricky to do so, because you don't want to have this memory area too big, because it will be taken out of your production system, but you don't want to have it to be too small, because then maybe your capture system won't start. And you can see there are like different segments in this reserved memory area, and these are called KExec segments, and this is a data structure which is shared between the user space and the kernel, and it basically is used in the following way. When you, for example, load the kernel with KExec tools, what KExec tools does, it allocates a buffer on this pointer with the size of buff size, and then copies the kernel into this buffer, and then it searches in the reserved memory area a hole where it can actually later copy the kernel to, and points this void mem pointer to this location. So that would be to here, and that's it. What it does with the kernel and initrd. And for the ELF core headers, the device tree blob in the purgatory, I will explain now what these are and what they are doing. So the ELF core header is like the core part of KDump, so that the capture system knows where the memory of the production system is. So it is an ELF header, which has different program headers, which then points to the points into the memory of the production system. So remember, this ELF core header lives in the reserved memory area. And the first program headers are for each CPU, which are called crash nodes. Crash nodes is a crash node is a small part of memory in the production system that is reserved for every CPU, so that when the CPU crashes, it can write the register state, PID, etc. in there, so that you can later find out in which state every CPU was when the crash happened. And from user space, you can read this sysdevice file to find out for every CPU where this memory is. Where this memory is, and KXIC tools, what it does, it actually writes the address in the program header. Then there's another important data structure, which is called VM Core Info. This data is a data structure also in the production kernel, which holds all the information about the data structures of the kernel. So for example, the page size of your system, the offset of flags and some structs, etc. So you will need this information later to actually understand in your dump file how the kernel looks like. And this file can also be read from by KXIC tools through this sysfs command, and it has the address and the size, which gets also copied in here, and yeah, that's it. And last but not least, you have some memory in the kernel itself. For this, what KXIC tools does, it parses proc IO mem, where you can find the system RAM parts and where in which part of the system RAM the kernel gets loaded, and takes this address as well and put it in some headers. And this structure is then later used to create a file in the capture system that's called proc VM core, from which you can create the dump file then. So next segment is the device tree or device tree blob. Who knows what a device tree is? Quite some people, nice. So device tree is like the equivalent to ACPI, which is used by ARM and by PowerPC. ARM64 actually has the possibility to boot with device tree or with ACPI. And so to come over this confusion, what the system does is when the production system boots up, the EFI stub creates a small and flattened device tree, which just holds some really basic information about the UEFI and about where the initRD can be found and the boot parameters. And the KXIC tool reads this file and then updates the initRD and points it to the initRD in the reserved memory area. Then it adds a value for the ELF core header, which points to this segment, and the usable memory range, which would be all the rest of your reserved memory area, which is not used by the KXIC segments, which is then the memory that your capture system can actually use to boot up and do all the stuff you wanted to do in. And the last segment we have is the purgatory. So the purgatory decides over heaven or hell, and heaven, of course, is that you are lucky that you can boot your capture kernel to actually create a dump. And hell is that your system is so broken that you can't even boot that capture system. And how does it do that? Well, the purgatory, when getting set up by KXIC tools, it holds the hashes of the other four KXIC segments. And when the purgatory is like the entry point after a crash, what it first does, it checks if the hashes are correct. Because if not, then you can't be sure that the capture system you boot up really holds the information that's valid. For example, imagine that the ELF core header is the is broken somehow and points somewhere else, then the information you have is not correct and you won't be able to reliably debug the system. There's also a command option for akexec tools to ignore these checks, which is nice because then you go always to heaven. Yeah. Okay, what the purgatory actually does. For ARM64, it looks like this. I hope you can read it more or less. So this is the assembler. It's not the whole file. I deleted some lines, but basically what it does, it creates, it has a small stack, then it calls purgatory, which is a C function, which the only thing it does actually is check the hashes of the different segments, and it then loads the kernel the kernel address in a register, the device tree address in a register, and boots the kernel. And this part is just like the normal way to boot ARM64, so nothing special in here. And the kexec tool, what it does with C's file is it updates the kernel address in the device tree address to point actually to the kernel and the device tree in the reserved memory area. Yeah, so then in the end, our knowledge tree, call it like this, looks like this. So the purgatory, which is like the first to be executed after crash, he knows where the kernel and the device tree is. It starts a kernel, and the kernel can read from the register the device tree, and the device tree holds the information of the ELF core header, the initRD, and the usable memory it can use. So that's good. So now we have set up all these segments in kexec tools, and then we have to pass this to the production kernel so that he can actually prepare for a crash to actually start the purgatory in the capture system. So this is done using the kexec load system call. There's also another call, kexec file load, which I won't explain here because it works a bit different, because it does most of the stuff we have seen here in the kernel space. So it passes the entry point of the purgatory to the kernel and the addresses of the segment, well, an array of the segments and the number of segments that exists. And that's all what we have to do in user space. And now we have passed all this information to the kernel, and now I will talk a bit about what the kernel actually does. So in the kernel internals, we will look into, there are three parts. So there's the first part is that the production kernel prepares the capture system through the kexec load syscall, and then we will have a look what actually happens when your production system crashes, and then we will see what happens when the kernel boots up. So when you load your capture system, what the kernel actually does, it just checks that you're root, because you don't want to have any user to load a new capture system on your machine. It checks some flags that basically means that you are not allowed to load another capture system if you ever have already one loaded. So you have to unload it first and then load it. The reason behind this is that if you, in the updating of the capture system, you get a crash, then everything is lost. And then it checks the segment number. So you have like a limit, which is, I think, 16 of segment numbers you can use. So we use 4, though we are totally fine here. And it then creates a structure, or it allocates a structure in the kernel, which is called kimage. And this holds the kexec segments and the entry point of the purgatory. And it allocates, or it holds a control page, which is later used to actually load the purgatory. We will see that in a minute. Well, then the kernel will do some sanity checks. So basically, it checks that the segments are not overlapping, because it would mean that something got really wrong, that they are page aligned, and that they're in the reserved memory area. And it also checks that the mem size is bigger or the same as the buffer size the reason behind this is that the memory in the that you use in the reserved memory area is page aligned, and this buffer is created by malloc in user space, so it's not page aligned. So this can be bigger and can't be smaller. And last but not least, it checks that all the memory you need by your KXX segments is at least is a maximum as big as half of the RAM that you're available on your system. So when that's all okay, then it calls copy from user, and it copies this buffer with the buffer size into the address of each segment in the reserved memory area. And then it clears the PTE valid bit for these segments, for the pages of these segments, which basically means that it's, that the MMU won't access it. So that's what it does. Well, last thing that's not in the slides, but it actually sets a flag to say that we have our capture system loaded. And then when the kernel crashes, it realizes that the capture system is loaded, and then it starts to disable the IRQs in the CPU registers. It will write into the VM core data structure also the time of the crash, so that when you have a crash dump, you can also read out when the system actually crashed. And then it will send a signal to all the other processors in your system to shut down, but to shut down using the CPU crash stop, which is a special handler that basically writes all the CPU register or all the CPU information into the crash notes, as we have seen beforehand, and disables the IRQs, and then tells the firmware to actually shut down the CPU. So that in the end, you have only one CPU running, or that is what you hope. So he checks if only one CPU running, that's a CPU that crashed. If this is not the case, then you have a problem, because it can then be that the crash system, the capture system, won't boot up correctly. But he just throws the warning and goes on, because you already crashed your production system. So what can you lose? Yeah. Then it uses a relocation control, some relocation code that will be copied in the control page. This code shuts down MMU and disables the caches, and then it checks if you have to relocate the kernel. That's the case if you just want to boot a new kernel. So that's not the case here, and then it jumps to the purgatory. We have seen what the purgatory does beforehand, so it checks the KXX segments and then loads the kernel. And the loaded kernel can then read this device tree entries, which point to these KXX segments, to know which, where and how big the memory is it uses, and where he can find the ELF coheader, and where he can find the initID, and then can start the initID. And he reserves some memory where he copies in the ELF core header. So remember, the ELF core header only holds pointers, so he copies the pointers and not the dereference of the pointers. And it creates a file that's called procvmcore, which is a file that you can then use to create a dump file. And this file has a special read function, which dereferences the pointers, so that when you read this file, you actually read the memory here and not just the address. Okay, so distribution part. So to set this all up, it's a bit difficult, because apart from deciding how big your reserved memory area should be, you would need to have a special initRD, and it depends on, for example, where you want to save your dump file in your capture system. If you want to save it, like for example, via FTP to an FTP server, then you will need all the drivers for your for your network card, you will need a network stack, and you will need the FTP programs in your initRD. And then, or when you you want to save it to disk, which is which is not what you should do, because you could have a crash in the file system, and then you can't write it to disk, but you can do this, and you will need the file system, kernel module in your initRD, etc. So there are tools to help you to that up, so that you don't need like a full-blown initRD, which will just waste memory that you don't really need. Normally, these distribution parts also have a way to say that you automatically store the dump automatically somewhere, so you don't have to do any manual intervention, and then reboot the system, so that at least the system comes up again, and your downtime is minimal, while you can then investigate what really happened. And at SUSE and OpenSUSE, we use a program that's called KDump with capital K, which is a Swiss Army knife for setting up a KDump. So it has basically two parts. So there's one part for the production system, which is some Dracut scripts to create the initRD, and some bash scripts to load the capture system, which basically calls kexec minus lp with the kernel initRD, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a tool to approximate the size of the reserved memory area, so that you don't have to do a try and error. And on the capture system side, they can configure how to create the dump. This is done mainly by using make dump file, where you can decide, for example, if you want to add free pages to your dump, or if you care about pages that are all zero, etc. Because if you just copy all your memory, that might be a really, really huge dump file, and there might be parts of the memory that you're not interested. And you can also define where these dump gets stored. So this is a configuration file, and if you're really lazy and you don't want to understand this configuration file, then you can use a tool that's called YAS2, which is an OpenSUSE or SUSE configuration tool for the system, and there's a module called KDump, and you can see it here. This is it looks nicer if you start it from a GUI, right? This is from serial console. So you can decide, for example, if you want to compress the dump, and which pages you want to include into the dump. And you can also, for example, send up some email notifications, so you get an email, hey, one of your system badly crashed, so you better have a look. Okay, so I will give a quick demo. I hope you can do this, because it's black and I wasn't able to change this. So what I'm doing here is I'm starting a virtual machine with QEMU. This is an ARM64 machine. Also, my laptop is not ARM64. And we can then have a look, for example, about how many CPUs. So we have two CPUs. We have 1.8 gigabyte of RAM. We can have a look on this script. So I wrote a small script. Well, a script is just a one-liner, right? That actually loads a kernel image with an initRD. It ignores the checks, because we want to be fast, because we all want to go to lunch afterwards. And it appends some command line options. So the command line options here is that you just start one CPU, and that you reset the devices. And one thing that I wanted to show, you can see in the production system, in the command line, on the kernel boot parameters, though, that we have actually 180 megabytes of RAM reserved for the crash system. So if we now load this, we can so you have also and do like this. Oh, whoa. So you can see there are different SysFS files where you can see if a crash system is loaded or if a normal kernel is loaded for just rebooting the kernel and not caring about crashes, and the size of this. So it should be loaded by now because we loaded it. Yes, great. So what we can do now is we can write, we can now write C, the value C to sysrq trigger. What it does, it create, it crashes artificially your kernel, and this is used to just check out that this actually works. So what we expect now that the capture system comes up and that we can then do some fancy stuff. So we can see here. Yes. We can see here, okay, so we triggered a crash through sysrq, which is a kernel null pointer dereference, and blah, 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 where it comes from. And it's in this, okay, we're stopping all the secondary CPUs, that was just one, and then it starts the crash kernel, and then you can see here, well, the capture kernel, and then you can see here how the capture kernel comes up. So that's the first step, so really good. We can now see proc CPU info that should only have one CPU because we passed this max CPU equals one. That's the case. So we would expect we had 1.8 gigabytes of RAM in the production system, that we would expect like 180 megabytes now. It's actually 147 megabytes because you have some part from the reserved memory area which is used by the KXX segments. And what else can we do? We can do, we can, we can have a look on the device tree blob that gets created and that got updated by KXX tools. So you can see we have here the WiFi map, and we have here the initRD, and up here we have the usable memory range that the KXX tools added in the 11th core header, and where this can be found. And now the last thing I want to do is there's another tool in KXX tools which is called VM Core Demask, which basically takes a dump file and extracts from the dump file the kernel and the kernel log. So this can be used to have a quick look what actually happened, and we can, that do this here, and then you can see, okay, it crashed. It crashed because we sent the sysrq trigger a crash. Okay, so well, so our capture system is working, so we're really happy. I added some references here for you in case that you want to read a bit more about it. This is the source code of the KXX tools. It's on gitkernel.org. There are some SUSE documentation of how to set the things up. This is the source code of the kdump program used by SUSE to make things easier. And there's also a nice blog that explains more or less the same that I explain here. So if you don't understand what, or if it wasn't understandable what I explained, or you don't trust me, then you can read it there. And okay, maybe quick some takeaways. I think we are on time. Oh, not too much. Okay. So basically how this works, like the key points that you should recognize remember. You have a reserved memory area. The capture system gets saved in this area, and the 11th core header is used. It points to all these memory locations in your production system where the information can be found. And the capture system then, out of this information, creates a this dump file. Okay, thanks a lot, and if you have any questions, please feel free.
Is the capture kernel built like with any changes from the production kernel, or can you have one built ahead of time that you just reuse that's compatible with your target?
Yeah, well, it depends. So I mean, what we at SUSE, OpenSUSE do, we reuse the kernel because we have the kernel with like everything built as a module, and then we just put in the initRD the modules that we need. So you get it's. That means it's not something you need to reboot the kernel. You can, if you want to, you could also like build in the drivers that you need in the kernel and use this, but it's not necessary. So no.
Okay. No more questions. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. See you.